Did you see this? Did you see the helicopters coming?
Oh, yeah.
Did you go watch?
I went there and watched. Mm-hmm. Seeing people getting on. Just like when I see the movie Killing Fields, when his wife getting on the helicopter,
mm-hmm.
It's like, it was so real. This is so real. It's just like they even have the similar background. You know, in the movie, they have mm-hmm. similar background with people waiting and getting in line and getting on the helicopter. Just American soldier guarding the place. It was so real. And
what was passing through people's minds at this time? And what were people happy or people just wondering what's going on or? One time of curiosity, or what would you
think? Boy, that's a big question because it's hard to know what other people feel or think.
True, yeah. But what did you think?
I didn't know what's going on much. I just knew that these people are leaving us behind now. They're not going to be in here anymore because the Khmer Rouge is just crossing the river, and these people are taking off and. Future of the country don't look great.
Mm.
But I didn't know any politics then. I didn't care much about what's going to happen. I care a lot about girls, but not much about what's going to happen in the future of the country. I guess my sister probably knew more to expect, or my father would feel. And back home, we kind of act normal. We kind of, like, normal thing happened after, you know, expecting that. Because the Khmer Rouge propaganda was so great, is that as long as the takeovers come, mm-hmm. we would have peace. Simple as that. And so long. After so many years of fighting and killing and, you know, bombing, we're sick and tired of hearing people killing each other and we just wait and wait for them to take over.
You say the propaganda. Where did the propaganda come from? Was it radio propaganda or what form was the propaganda?
Oh. The Khmer Rouge has the radio by this time now.
Okay.
They established the radio now. But the propaganda that came and banned people the most is the people passing to each other.
Oh, yeah.
And again, people in Cambodian society at this time, even now, we're still passing message to each other. Because, again, you know, like, we know our neighbor so well that, I mean, I can go to my next door neighbor and eat there. Whatever left over, I can go and eat what they have, you know, somehow like that. And we have a very close tie to each other. And this message travels through us and bear with us so well and so fast. And this is the kind of propaganda they have. And I guess if you interview 100 people about my age, they know, they would say the same thing about the propaganda, like, peace is going to be coming. We're going to have peace, we're going to see our relative back home, back in the countryside.
These promises.
Well, these promises were so real, because we lost belief in we don't know altogether. We just don't have any faith in him anymore. Whatever he said, if we allowed to get up there, just like in America, there's a free press, probably people just go up there and tell him to shut up already by this time. But we didn't have free press in our country. In the Constitution, it says free press, but no, in reality, no, there's no such thing as free press.
When did you finally hear about the takeover at the Khmer Rouge band, they're in power. And how did you hear about it?
This isn't in the morning now.
Okay.
The takeover was overnight. This is like overnight from the east, from the west. This is 3 days after the Americans, the last American people pulling out their troops out of the country. In the morning, I woke up and my family situation now is not the same. It's like, and it's just like peace. You know, this morning is so completely different. It's so peaceful. And it's like, we, at the night before, it's a lot of fighting. We couldn't sleep well, but just like, I still remember woke up about 8 o'clock at this time, this particular morning of takeover. It's just like peace. It's like, things are so different now. Despite the fact that the overnight fighting, you know, the artillery attack from the east, from the west, from all of these places, but in the morning, it's like peaceful, about 8 o'clock. And by this time now, my father has a radio, and his radio on, and everybody talk about taking over. And everyone, by this time I got up, and I just hear that the Khmer Rouge are here. And it's just like, you wake up and they are there. Now, some people gone out there and cheer the victory, and I was there. Because we were happy. We were happy about the takeover.
Your whole family was out?
Not the whole family. I'm out of the house again. My brother and I, my two brothers and my sister, usually go stay home, which is not fair, but it's society built that way. My sister at home and trying to clean up the house and all this. But what we learn is that whatever your identity in the past government had to be hidden. Now, this is something is not right now, but we still feel safe now, despite the fact that we realize that, well, I think it's not anybody telling us that you have to hide this, but it just come to each family that they know that they need to hide this. They should not do certain things, telling their identity about the past. And at this time, nobody. I mean, the Khmer Rouge, they walk in front of your house, but they don't come into your house yet. They don't knock on the door yet. You can see them in an army truck, and whenever you hear the tank passing by your house, it makes a lot of noise, so you know it's a tank. Now, it's not uncommon noise. It's very common at this time now, even though the tank in the city. It's not uncommon because the city has been bombarded by artillery and the tanks just patrolling the city is like common now. And this is one of the days that I said earlier peace, but still, you know, a few hours in the morning is still quiet. There's no big conflict. But now as the day developed, Khmer Rouge is getting worse. Now, they, early in the morning, they didn't show any action that they really hate the city folk or, you know, most of them very thankful to the support of the city folk early in the morning, but it's just like by 10 or 10:30 at the day of the takeover, it seemed like they had a new order to them. And this army, or the nuclear that passing by our house, like, it's not the same as the first one. The first one is not as rude or mean as this group coming by. We know they dress the same, but I guess the first group is like the front line. They win the victory. They're excited about the new place they conquer. And the second group is like they're trained to control the situation. And they're different groups here. And these are the ones that gave us the attention now. They don't knock on our door yet, but they kind of poking and killing a few dogs, like a lot of books would put it, you know, shooting a few dogs on the street while they drive cars. The one who can drive the car that's without speed limit. I didn't see in my own eye that any Khmer Rouge car or a truck or tank ran over anybody, but I guess by the speed they drive or the way they drive, probably could run it over anybody at any moment because they didn't know how to operate the tank or the truck.
What was the first Khmer Rouge soldier you saw and when? The first?
No. It was about 9 o'clock on that particular day after I got out of the house. It's just the same picture that in the killing field, you know, the Khmer, red Khmer, and now, the first group I told you, they've been fighting all night. And they don't look clean. I mean, people in the battlefield don't look clean. They don't carry a heavy load, you know, like army carry a heavy load with them in the war, in the battlefield. But this, like, the only thing they have is their gun and bullets.
How old were they about?
Oh, I don't see the very young ones. I saw the first one. I saw they're very, very old, between 18 and 20. They're pretty old. Not the very young one. There's some young one that we laughed at them. That really, because before the takeover, we had this picture. The Republican keep telling us that they're so cool. They take your children away from you. They train them. They make your children to go to war when they're young. They know nothing except killing. We saw this. We had this picture in mind. But the first time I didn't see that until the later part of the day. Then I come to see that. The question came to my mind first when I see them is like, where's the leader? Do they have any leader? They all dress the same.
Yeah.
It's like, because the Republican soldier, you can, if you see them, you know who the leaders are because the way they dress, because they have, you know, that when they have a little gun, what do you call that?
Pistol.
A pistol, you know, they're a big shot. I mean, at least they have somebody underneath. But the Khmer Rouge, you cannot tell who's the leader. Some people say, oh, just look at the one with so many pen. You know the pen you write with? Those are the leader. The one without pen, they cannot write and cannot read, so they don't carry the pen. So this is like, you cannot tell. But we went there and cheer them up, parade them all the boulevard and the street. And
did anybody try to talk to them at all?
We talked to them. Oh,
really?
People talk to them. They're human beings, and they talk, they happy, they laugh, and they cheer. Of course, they shoot into the air because they get excited, not because they hate other people. We tend to see these Khmer Rouge is so rude and never smile, and yeah, some of them are just like us, you know, like, just imagine who, you know, who none he graduated from France. So he still has this friendly, smiling face too. Some of them look just like us. I mean, just the clothes they wear differently, but don't don't get the wrong picture that all the Khmer Rouge look so mean. You know, in the killing field, they portray this wrong picture that all of Soyeon look so gloomy and look so sad, look so depressed, like they're ready to kill other people. Hey, please, not all of them. They were tired of because they've been fighting in the battlefield for the past few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
They had that appearance, but some of them who had enough sleep, you know, despite the fact overnight fighting, they're happy. They're excited to see the new place that they've been told that how great the capital city is. They've never seen it before, and they're excited. They scream, they yell, they sing when they're on the truck. You know, the army truck,
yeah.
they got it from, and the army tank, they got it from the Republican military force. They get excited, just not much different from us. And we then cheer them up. The sad part is this. When the lunchtime comes, you know, it's getting too close to 12, and
mm-hmm.
people tend to go back home and walk back home and start eating. Doing the cooking, getting ready to go on, and this is like the time when the new order came. I don't remember what the radio said at this time. My father had a radio, but I was like outside cheering up this soldier all the time, so I didn't hear any proposition from the new government to the Khmer Rouge at all.
So the Khmer Rouge were broadcasting already on the radio.
Oh yeah, they were broadcasting by the Lunol's, which is radio station.
That they took over.
Right, it's funny. The country is not that small, okay? But there's only one radio station that this is in. I forgot the place. Where we have the radio station. But everybody listens to the same station, you know? It's like the. We backward country. You don't have plenty of TV or plenty of radio stations. I mean, in America, you turn them off, tons of radio stations. No, you don't have that in Cambodia. it's sad, but
that's the way it is.
That's the way the country goes, you know. It's sad, but anyway, there's only one radio station, and everybody listened to it, and the Khmer Rouge were broadcasting on the radio station. Me, I was on the street most of the time, and I don't hear anything from the radio. I was too busy cheering up those Khmer Rouge.
You were having a good time.
I was having a good time, you know, laughing and shouting and yelling, you know. Hey, victory is here, you know. What else do you want?
Please.
Peace, yeah. And that's what we all had in mind, you know, especially people about my age. We know much, but we know peace is going to be there. You know, probably life is going to be better. And it was promised to us that life is going to be better. Being a student, you hate the rich and famous too. And you don't have a lot of money, and these people have tons of money.
Especially in a corrupt system.
Yeah. Especially in a corrupt system. And these Khmer Rouge promise you that you're not going to be too far different from them. Hey, what an exciting time to have, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, oh boy, waiting for this to come. It's finally it's arrived, you know? So,
okay, this was the first day when all the troops were coming.
They rolled the troops around the city, you know, check every city block. Now, I witnessed not anything drastic, but I witnessed those soldiers, the Republican soldiers, like, you know, don't have any shirt, and being tied on the tank. Tied on the tank. You know, this is a Republican tank. They parade this soldier like they were arrested by the Khmer Rouge the night before, and they put on top of the train and the Khmer Rouge paraded them. Now, we may sound cruel, the city folk may sound cruel to really cheering up the cruel action the Khmer Rouge were causing.
Mm-hmm.
But before we say that, think back that we hate the Republican.
Yeah.
And we were sick and tired of being so corrupt, and now the Khmer Rouge beating up the Khmer, which is the Republican. Now, we are Buddhist people, we should not cheering up those cruel actions that the Khmer Rouge are causing. But we were happy because the corrupt system is not going to be there anymore. And
law and order's gone.
And at this time, humane, it seemed like didn't even exist in this city, folks, anymore, because despite the fact we have a lot of feeling of what's happening, when they beat up the soldier on the train, and it's not nice to see that people get kicked on the stomach, and on the train while the train moving, and beaten up on the face while the train moving, and hit with the gun while the train moving. It's not nice to see that, but people were cheering up. Now, not because the Khmer forced us to cheer up. No, people are there in the street cheering up because of the victory. And because the victory is so great that we could not see the other side of the victory, that the Khmer Rouge are beating up the Republican Khmer. Now that sounds cool.
But amongst all that, like, celebration and stuff.
See, it's a celebration.
It's
you may say, well, these Khmer people are so cool, and GC beating up right in front of your face and you're still cheering up. I don't know. I'm trying to ask somebody a question. Why did I cheer them up? I mean, didn't I have any feeling for this soldier got beaten up? Didn't have any cause? I mean, not to sense the soldier naked. No, I mean, the army soldier, the clothes. They pull them out, you know, like... And people beating up and be cheering them.
Well,
yeah.
Wouldn't it be a question that the people are so tired of war, they were just glad it was all over?
Oh, no question about that. The answer would be yes. We sick and tired of our world team can kill in the war, and now worse yet, what the Republican did during this war is the bad thing they have done, is arresting students and make them into soldiers. Now, that's the worst thing they ever done.
Right.
Between 25 and 15 years old, if you get caught on the street by the Republican Party and you don't have a student ID, tough out of luck. You're being thrown into the army truck and you're sent to the place where they train you to into the war. And this is what the Republican Party have done during this period. And how you like to have your brother being forced into do something that you're really against, and your relative, your cousin. And Cambodian family is not nuclear families. We have big family, you know,
extended
like extended family, and you know, one of us got sent into the army, we hate it.
That's right. Especially with the losses, I mean, those getting killed.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So what happened? What was the next thing that happened?
The next thing, the day of takeover. In the street, I saw enough action. This is like from about 9:30 to 12 that I was on the street. Don't remember particularly, but it's about that much of time of the day, and I had to be home and eat lunch. And that's enough action to really scare me. didn't know much then. To look back now, it's like, why I really even, I mean, bother to go outside the house and clean up, you know? And I don't even understand why the rest of the people much older than I am is like, clean. But again, we're so excited about the victory. Anyway, as the day develop, more strict order put on us. Now everybody, most people out of the street now, the people in the street that they are commercial, they are patrolling. The day of takeover is such a hectic day because the commercial army back and forth, army truck, tank, the army jeep, the little jeep back and forth and keep patrolling all over the city. And those are the actions that we saw. We saw that the key animal, I mean.
You see any people shot?
No, I don't see any particular people shot on the street. I mean, just pass by and shot? No, not at all like that. Just like I said, you know, they have the compassion not to kill people. Just, I mean, you went there and cheer them up. They didn't shoot you then. But as they develop, they try to maintain order now, keep people off the street. This time, most people are in the afternoon now. People are back in the house, waiting what the radio would say. Again, I didn't really interest in what the radio said at this time. But when it come to hit me that thing is not right, when my father said, we may need to get a house.
Your father suggested this.
Yeah, and that's a time where everybody should, I mean, including me, I why is this? I mean, why do we have to get out of the house? And this is our place, and we should be here, you know? This is a question everybody asks. But anyway, as you heard so many times now that the message is the same, they tell the city people to go outside of the city. I mean, everybody got the same message.
Mm-hmm.
From the radio station, from the soldier who passing by, knocked on the door, you know, and they were very nice. As a matter of fact, they don't come, the first group were kind of nice. I mean, nice, it's like, they don't, it's despite the fact that they carry their gun all the time. We got scared because they carry the gun all the time. But they come and polite about what they want to tell us. They, with a lot of respect, and say, usually we use aunt and uncle, right? To call older people. We say, they will say, uncle, you know, this is what's going to happen. You need to get out of your house and we're going to keep order. Now some people even move out of the city before the order was ordered. Why? Because peacetime. Remember I told you last time that the refugee flocked into the city?
Yeah.
And now this is the time they can go back to
their province. Go back to their province.
Right. And some of them did that. But the people at the house in the city, they don't do that. I mean, we live there. But the Khmer Rouge, I keep saying Khmer Rouge is nice, okay?
Okay, that's okay.
I'm not saying that they're cruel, killing all the time, you know what I mean? But they came and knocked on our door and being polite and tell us, you know, that we need to get out of the house because the Americans are going to bomb the whole city, or and it's safe for us to leave the city, you know. And
did they say how many days?
A few days, you know. Like a lot of people say in 3 days. What we heard is a few days. Pack as much as you can. for 3 days, you know, like going camping, right? 3 days. Don't take a lot, but take enough, and, you know, we're going to take care of your house and your animal and all of this, you know. They're kind of nice. We, you know, it's Cambodian custom and culture that when people come to our house, that we offer them food to eat, drink. I know I don't offer you anything tonight, but we live in America. I learned American way, which is crazy. No, despite the fact that we had a bad picture about the Khmer Rouge, we still offer them food to eat, drink, tea, soft drink. Some of them really trust us and come and eat, but take our food and, you know, they saw you, they're hungry too, and you're walking from place to place. Now, the first group passed by, the second group passed by, the third group passed by, but each group is like,